It is called internet.
I use the World Wide Web information superhighway.
Cybersecurity.
Why do things go viral?
Click here.
In South Korea, there's a digital newspaper called the Daily NK. And its reporters and correspondents arguably have the toughest job in journalism. They report on North Korea. And of course, details from Kim Jong-un's secretive regime are incredibly difficult to come by. So the reporters from the Daily NK have lots of techniques.
We don't do a lot of straight reporting on state media.
This is Rob Lawler. He manages the English language version of the Daily NK.
Generally, what the journalists will do is everyone reads Rodong Shinmun.
That's North Korean state media.
But the journalists at Daily NK will kind of try to go a step further and, you know, ask their sources inside the country, is this really happening? Is this being implemented? That sort of thing.
Rob talked to us from Seoul, where the Daily NK is based.
It's always been run by South Koreans, and they hire defectors to report on what's happening inside North Korea.
There are just 11 journalists on staff, and Rob is the only foreigner. The rest are a mix of native South Koreans and, yes, you heard Rob right, North Korean defectors.
We have a couple full-time defector journalists.
In fact, half the staff are defectors. How many newspapers can say that? In a lot of ways, the Daily NK is like one of those old-time city papers, small and scrappy. And they write about some things that Kim Jong-un would rather be kept secret, like the current price of rice.
It's considered a state secret to be publishing the price of rice.
And when they aren't focused on foodstuffs, the Daily NK is writing about other things that might signal that Kim's regime is feeling stressed. Sometimes it's really mundane things that only people who once lived in North Korea might recognize as meaningful.
It's fascinating to sit in an editorial meeting because of the level of depth, you know, having people that have lived in North Korea talking about North Korea and then talking about it in their own language.
Is North Korean dialect really different than South Korean dialect?
You know, they use different words. And I think a lot of that is because North Korean society, you know, they use a lot of battle terms, a lot of fighting, a lot of struggle, a lot of that sort of thing.
And the other thing that makes the Daily NK different from other news organizations studying the Hermit Kingdom is that they don't just produce stories for outsiders. What they write gets broadcast into North Korea as well. They partner with a radio station that has a signal that can be picked up in the kingdom.
안녕하십니까, 신지은입니다. 한반도를 대표하는 독립운동가 안중근 의사.
Which may help explain why the tiny Daily NK, with its 11 reporters and small offices in Seoul, has been on the receiving end of a number of North Korean cyber espionage operations. In fact, some of North Korea's most famous state hackers seem incredibly obsessed with them. I'm Dina Temple-Reston, and this is Click Here, a podcast about all things cyber and intelligence. We tell true stories about the people making and breaking our digital world. And today, a look inside a special unit of North Korean hackers who have been using crafty sleight-of-hand techniques to snoop on journalists and researchers, and why their latest methods have managed to rattle some people in the cybersecurity community, too.
Their creativity and interest to experiment in the cyber domain that I think crushes everyone else right now. I'll have to be kind of vague here because I don't want to tip them because I know they'll be listening to this.
If you are listening, North Korean hackers, we'll be right back. This is Click Here.
Hello, I'm Adam Fleming from the Global Story podcast from the BBC World Service. We are looking at Lina Khan, the face of the US government's battle to regulate big tech. She's already redefined the way we talk about monopolies. Now she's taking on the likes of Amazon and Meta. But who is she, and will she win? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily NK is funded by the National Endowment for Democracy in the U.S. It's a quasi-governmental foundation created by the Reagan administration in 1983. And its mission is exactly as it sounds, to channel millions of federal dollars into what it euphemistically calls anti-communist, quote, private democracy. The U.S. funds the Daily NK's private diplomacy in an attempt, Rob Lawler says, to influence things in North Korea, also known as the DPRK.
I mean, we've been called an anti-DPRK outlet, which, I mean, I don't think is so far from the truth. We're not pro-DPRK.
That may explain why Rob wasn't that surprised when North Korean state-backed hackers successfully attacked the Daily NK a couple of years ago. In fact, they were kind of expecting it. But it was the way in which the hackers targeted them that was so interesting, and what they appeared to be going after. None of it seems to be the splashy kind of hacking you hear about on the news. It was much more subtle, by design, more intelligence gathering and vibe checking than a traditional attack. So there were no defaced websites or ransomware demands. Instead, they used something called a watering hole attack. And the name, watering hole, comes from the way animal predators behave, like crocodiles on the African savanna.
This male has been traveling for hours. The water hole is the only place where he...
And just like those crocodiles floating quietly just below the surface of the water, these North Korean watering hole hackers get into someone's network and then just lie in wait. In the case of the Daily NK, they were hoping to ensnare staffers, of course, but also their reading audience, since the North Korean government is interested in who's consuming this material they don't want anyone to see. If a reader clicks on a story and their browser hasn't been updated, the hackers try to take advantage and do the cyber version of a crocodile bursting out of the water with jaws snapping. They drop malicious code onto that reader's unsuspecting network. And in the case of the Daily NK, when the hackers got into their systems, it didn't appear they were looking to damage anything. It first looked like a routine spying operation.
It's more about, you know, what does Daily NK do? Why does it do what it does? And that the reason for the attack probably falls within there.
The watering hole trick is also a great way to stage an attack without drawing too much attention to yourself. In fact, according to the cybersecurity firm Velexity, the hackers were able to remain undetected inside the Daily NK's networks for 4 months. The attacker, it turns out, was a North Korean government hacking group with a kind of evil-sounding name.
Scarcroft.
If you're a Click Here listener, you've heard us talk about various North Korean hacking groups. And they usually hack for totally different reasons than Chinese or Russian hackers do. Traditionally, Chinese hackers have been focused on spying.
To show Beijing's government agencies carrying out large-scale cyber attacks against foreign governments, companies, and more.
And Russian hackers have been all about sowing chaos.
Today, federal prosecutors charged a Russian man with running two hacking schemes that stole more than $100 million from victims in the United States.
North Korea's hackers are all about supporting Kim Jong-un's regime. They've stolen millions of dollars in cryptocurrency to pay for his weapons program. They hacked into Sony Pictures about 10 years ago to defend his honor. You remember this story. There was a Seth Rogen, James Franco movie called The Interview. Rogen and Franco play two entertainment journalists who happen to land a Kim Jong-un interview. And when the CIA finds out, well, they have an extra job for them.
the CIA would love it if you two could take him out.
Take him out?
Like for drinks?
No, no, no.
You want us to assassinate the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What?
You get the idea. And you can see why Kim gave it a thumbs down in a very cybery way.
Sony Pictures Entertainment is reeling from what may be the biggest and most devastating computer hacking in Hollywood's history.
And dispatched hackers to basically send Sony back into the internet stone age.
The hack shut down the company's entire computer system. Employees were reduced to using old-fashioned pen and paper to complete assignments, and...
But that's kind of high-visibility hacker stuff. Scarcroft, the North Korean hackers who targeted the Daily NK, appear to be a totally different beast. The group is all about being stealth and flying under the radar.
So they aren't in the news as often as, say, a China attack or a Russia attack, but that doesn't mean that they are laying low and...
This is Sarah Kern. She's one of the North Korea experts at SecureWorks, a security company based in Atlanta. And she's been focusing on Scarcroft for the past couple of years.
What sets them apart is their focus on intelligence gathering, wanting to understand what intelligence agencies and these journalists are reporting on and how they think about North Korea.
They basically want to know what the rest of the world is saying about North Korea, how their policies, their missile launches, their propaganda is playing to the rest of the world. And their favorite thing to do?
Compromising a journalist or an intelligence analyst focusing on North Korea.
Sarah says while Scarcroft is patiently waiting in a target's network, they're not just sitting there idly.
The threat actors spend a decent amount of time doing reconnaissance and learning about their targets ahead of time and craft these messages that are very believable and easy to fall for.
No generic phishing emails. Instead, they research likes and dislikes, interests, scholars their targets interact with. So by the time Scarcroft's bespoke emails land in the inbox, someone would click on it without a second thought.
So by gathering information and intelligence on their targets, they're able to trick users into opening malicious things.
Imagine you're a threat intelligence analyst like Sarah, who studies North Korean cyber attacks, and an email pops into your inbox from a Korean cybersecurity firm. And it contains a new report on a North Korean hacking group that you've been researching. So you open the email, you click on the link to read the report, and you have no idea that you've also just started downloading malicious code. But when it comes to targeting the Daily NK, Scarcroft's motivation wasn't just to see who was writing what about North Korea. They were also looking for specific information, something that would reveal who the Daily NK was talking to inside the kingdom. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un spends a great deal of energy sealing the country off from the rest of the world. But the Daily NK, this scrappy little 11-person operation, was managing to get through anyway. And you can imagine, since Scarcroft is all about supporting the regime, that they'd love to get a handle on how the Daily NK does that, who their journalist defectors are, and who they've found inside North Korea to pull back the curtain even a little bit. Which is why, Rob says, Daily NK staffers are super careful.
The focus is really on ensuring that the individual journalists are doing their due diligence in terms of maintaining their own security and ensuring that they're not getting compromised.
So we have something called like red teaming. Sometimes people will actually like to test that people aren't clicking on things. Do you guys do stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah.
They have an outside cybersecurity company that helps with that. And they have contingencies if the unthinkable happened and the Daily NK actually did get compromised again. When we come back, how one researcher got inside Scarcroft's inner sanctum and got a rare look at how they do what they do. Stay with us.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech Podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast, and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
A few months ago, researchers at Sentinel Labs, an American cybersecurity company based in California, began working with the Daily NK to learn more about Scarcroft, though they were careful not to reveal too much about what they were doing.
I'll have to be kind of vague here because I know they'll be listening to this, any sort of this, but what they're ultimately doing is building an environment that allows them to test in ways that's similar to operating in the wild.
This is Tom Hagel. He's the principal threat researcher at Sentinel. And the they he's referring to, of course, are the North Korean hackers. Recently, Tom got a lucky break.
And that environment happened to be something that we had access into.
They were able to get access into a kind of North Korean hacking lab, where North Korean hackers, including Scarcroft, were doing research on best practices. They were even testing their hacks before they used them.
They're keeping metrics of what's working and what's not working. They're constantly reading cybersecurity blogs and news to understand what other actors are doing and what's working, and they're following suit.
For Tom, it was like peering into the future, and maybe even his future.
We got a bit of rare insight into what they were kind of in the stages of developing for upcoming campaigns. We saw them beginning to test phishing campaigns against cybersecurity research organizations or consumers of cyber threat intelligence.
So the targets are becoming people like Tom. And Tom said as much in a report that he co-authored earlier this year. It expanded on some of the things Sarah Kern was talking about earlier. As he saw it, Scarcroft was trying to put a whole new spin on phishing. They weren't sending, "Hey, this is Google, please report your password" emails. Instead, there was a long, involved campaign to build a persona that looks like a real person, someone who's trying to make a connection just so they can attack someone later.
Pretending to be certain people to get into organizations, you know, fake IT employees, pretending to be employees, or pretending to be security researchers like myself to get into defense organizations.
They're actually looking at calling people on the phone.
They get quite creative. They'll reach out to target individuals through social media to build a reputation, build a relationship. But ultimately, that's what they're doing, is social engineering their targets to take an action that allows them to execute some sort of code.
In one case they saw, Scarcroft was using stolen credentials to sneak into a person's Facebook account. And then they used that account to send messages to their friends. In another, Scarcroft hackers disguised themselves as employees of a Korean financial company. They targeted cybersecurity experts by pretending to be members of the North Korea Research Institute. And anyone who clicked on that message was the unwitting recipient of a sophisticated remote access Trojan called RockRat, which basically allowed Scarcroft to access their computers, capture screenshots, log keystrokes, and even steal sensitive information, and then find other places in their networks where they could bury themselves and hide.
We see them most heavily relying on exploiting a machine and evolving quickly. So no one go-to method, but all does lean heavily into social engineering.
Tom said these decoys are getting really good. Take the case of Kim Suki, a well-known North Korean hacking group. Lots of cybersecurity professionals track them because they tend to attack high-value targets like power stations. And clearly, Scarcroft was aware of that. So they started sending around cybersecurity research reports about Kim Suki that would look really interesting to very specific kinds of people they'd want to hack, people like Tom. Only thing was, these reports were actually bait infused with malware.
These guys are using mimicked versions of such reports to lure targets in and compromise them.
It's one thing to pretend to be a think tank, but it's another level of sneaky for a threat actor to use a report about another threat actor to compromise a target.
They're super creative about how they're doing things.
The quality of their disguises and the quality of their decoys aren't the only things that are improving. They're also thinking through how they can get the information they want with a kind of hacking bank shot, going after people who are easier to target. They're hacking people who might be consuming the information they really want instead of hacking the organizations that are producing it directly.
For example, if they're going after a government organization that they know is consuming threat intelligence from a cybersecurity vendor XYZ, if they can mimic that and get in through that method, perhaps they can go after the individual that manages the defense against North Korean cyber actors, allowing them to get essentially ahead of the defense at that point.
In fact, Scarcraft has even targeted organizations that we'd consider friendly to North Korea.
We've seen Scarcraft go after a variety of Russian defense industrial base organizations over the years.
In 2021, the group hacked into a Russian defense contractor that specializes in designing missiles. And the discovery, according to Sentinel Labs, highlighted a potential rift in relations between Russia and North Korea. Although, given that North Korean missiles are now being used in the war in Ukraine, the relationship is clearly better now.
That opened our eyes to potential collaboration or potential mixing of priorities with other North Korean groups.
And with all this new detail about Scarcraft's tactics and collaborations with cybersecurity companies, the Daily NK is being proactive, which they hope will prevent future attacks.
The focus is really on ensuring that the individual journalists are doing their due diligence in terms of maintaining their own security and ensuring that they're not getting compromised.
But for now, Rob Lawler says, they're not letting their guards down. This is Click Here. Here are some of the top cyber and intelligence stories of the past week.
Hi, I'm Jeff Abbott, CEO of Ivanti. As a company,
on Wednesday, the IT software company Ivanti announced that it plans to fundamentally change the way it approaches cybersecurity after hackers penetrated government agencies in Norway and the United States after finding vulnerabilities in their software.
We're battling an increasingly complex and aggressive landscape of threat actors. In many cases,
among the victims, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA. CISA said that two of its systems were forced offline, and the data of more than 100,000 people may have been compromised. Also last week, two major privacy bills have cleared the Maryland legislature, making it one of a handful of states that have tried to codify data privacy for its citizens. The first bill would protect the personal data of consumers by imposing limits on data collection and use. The second bill aims to protect children.
My name is Ariel Geismar. I'm with Design for Us, and I'm terrified. I'm terrified.
Several young people actually testified in support of the bill, which would stop certain social media apps and other online platforms from tracking minors and using features like autoplay and targeted ads to keep them online.
If there was an unsafe playground that was riddled with unwanted sexual advances, higher rates of drug usage, and a hotbed for anxiety and depression, I'd like to think that you would act immediately. So I stand before you to say that playground exists and it's on all of our phones.
The tech industry has vigorously opposed both bills, and Maryland Governor Wes Moore still has to sign the bills before they can become law. And finally,
scammers are always evolving, and now regulators are helping to crack down and get you your money back.
The Federal Trade Commission said that last year, victims of online scams lost over $1.1 billion. That's more than three times the 2020 total, making scamming the most widespread kind of consumer fraud in the U.S.
The most common types of imposter scams are copycat account security alerts, phony subscriptions.
Last Monday, new rules went into effect, allowing the FTC to pursue civil cases against scammers, in addition to filing federal charges that might allow them to claw back what victims have lost.
You were on the job the day before.
Let's get those scammers.
You got it. Thank you, Ben.
Today's episode was produced by Sean Powers, Kat Shuknecht, and me, Jade Abdul-Malik. It was edited by Karen Duffin, fact-checked by Darren Ankrum, and contains original music by Ben Livingston, with some other music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our staff writer is Lucas Riley, and our illustrator is Megan Goff. Click Here is a production of Recorded Future News. Tune in on Friday for Mic Drop, which features our favorite interview of the week. And we'll have a new episode of Click Here on Tuesday. See you then.
Looking for more of the cybersecurity and intelligence coverage you get on Click Here? Then check out our sister publication, The Record, from Recorded Future News. You'll get breaking cyber news from reporters in New York, Washington, London, and Kyiv, among others. And you'll see for yourself why it attracts hundreds of thousands of page views every month. Just go to therecord.media.